Yes, welcome back into another edition of the Jungle Show. So excited to be back to discuss another Auburn Tigers win here on the Auburn Daily's YouTube channel and podcast feed. Again, so excited to be back. We're here to talk about Auburn's second straight road SEC dominating win, this time over the South Carolina Gamecocks by a score of 81-66. Auburn was in control of this game from the very beginning and never wavered. And we're here to talk about it, here to talk about some of the takeaways and some of the storylines for this game and around the program, and then preview what Auburn has next on this upcoming Wednesday and in Neville Arena against Texas A&M. Before we get started, I just wanted to remind y'all that this season Auburn Daily has partnered with Prize Picks to bring some fun and variety to your picks for 2023. Prize Picks is a free app that allows you to choose any 2 to 3, 4, 5, maybe even 6 of any sport in your wagers. Predict the over-under for the next game and win big prizes if they do well. They have flex options where you can still get paid on winning 3 of 5 or 2 of 3, and you can have multiple sports in the same parlay. Best of all, use promo code Auburn to receive double of your first deposit, up to $100. That's promo code Auburn on your first deposit. This college basketball season, win some big money with Prize Picks at Auburn Daily. Again, use promo code Auburn to get double on your first deposit, up to $100. So with that being said, talking about Prize Picks, Auburn was a 13.5-point favorite in this game. If you bet the Auburn Tigers in that game, you would have won because Auburn won by 15 points. So to do that and to talk about this good Auburn Tigers win over South Carolina, I brought in my dad and co-host again. Dad, a 15-point dub on the road after an 18-point dub on the road. This is the second time or the first time Auburn has had back-to-back road victories in the SEC by more than 10 points since the early 80s. This was a big deal for Auburn, no matter the two opponents of LSU and South Carolina this week. What did you get from this game?
Anytime you win on the road in the Southeastern Conference, it's a big deal.
Yeah.
No doubt. To win back-to-back road games in dominant fashion, even against poor teams, is big time. And like you said, it's been a long time since we won back-to-back road games by double digits.
Yeah.
We were in complete control of this game. Never wavered. They did get it to 10 early in the second, cut a 26-point lead to 10. And I was like, what? Come on, guys, let's guard Gigi. He's literally the only one scoring. And Bruce made some switches there and extended it back out. We were never going to lose that game.
I agree. That was
fun to watch.
Yeah, 100%. No, we were talking about this pre-show before we started recording. I haven't had as much fun watching Auburn basketball these past two games since that tournament run, to be honest with you. You know, I had a lot of fun watching last year's team. Last year's team was dominant in a lot of games that they played, especially when they were really rolling. They got up to number one in the country. But these past two games, winning on the road, winning a who you beat in LSU and South Carolina, and also the context of what we saw against Florida and Georgia, and even games like the USC game and the Memphis game, seeing this Auburn team perform at this level is refreshing to me.
I told you before the show, that last 5 minutes of the first half and maybe the first 3 minutes of the second half were as good of basketball as I've seen Auburn play maybe since the 2019 run.
Yeah.
Everything was clicking. They were running. They were making passes. Wynn Green was making passes like I've never seen before, I guess since Sharif Cooper. And Alan Flanagan was flying through the air, and Janai Broome has developed that little push shot from about 13 feet.
It's working. That
was going in, and it was like everything we did was working.
Yep.
And then about midway through the second half, like I said, Jackson, who is an NBA player, he'll be in the NBA next year.
Yep.
He's a 6'9 shooting guard, and he took over for them, and he's very good. He's very good. Would love to have had him on our team.
Yeah. Now, before we talk about, you know, the storylines and some of the takeaways we've had for Auburn in this game, one huge point of emphasis from just looking at the stats in this game, especially if you watched it, the G.G. Jackson impact is something else. He was the only player for South Carolina's game. He finished with 30 points, shooting almost 50% from the field, 50% from three, had four threes and eight rebounds. He was minus 25 in this game. Now, I credit that to a lot more of Auburn having, you know, he was out there when Auburn was cooking at their best during this game. But G.G. Jackson originally committed to North Carolina. Auburn really, really wanted him, especially after he decommitted from North Carolina, decided to stay at home. He's from Columbia, especially since he reclassified. Like, he is 17 years old. He's the age of a high school senior.
He's really good.
He's going to be playing for a lot of money next year in the NBA.
You know, they were talking on – I was listening to the Auburn Radio Network because I can't stand that guy they call Doc on ESPN or whatever. So I timed up my Auburn Radio Network and listened to them call the game. And they kept saying, "Gigi, I wonder if he'll be back next year." And I was like, crazy to be back.
No chance.
He's a top 10 type of draft pick. He's really good. And he's a guy that NBA teams go – 6'9", can handle the ball, likes to handle the ball, can shoot, can take it to the bucket. We talked about it before. A lot of these teams in the SEC have one or two NBA players. I don't think we do yet. We're getting
the chance. Flanagan
keeps playing hard. Maybe he's an NBA player next year. Jalen Williams. If he can show that he can handle the ball, and I think he can.
Yeah.
Maybe he's an NBA player next year, but the Jackson kid's an NBA superstar. He's really good.
100%. So, all right, now moving on, pivoting towards the Auburn Tigers here in this game. Pure masterclass, not just from the guy that we're going to talk about here in just a second specifically, but just in general, 81 points. You shoot 3 of 17 from the three-point line, which is terrible. 18% is not good from Auburn from the three-point line, but yet you score 81 points on the road in the SEC. That shows you how dominant this team was in this game and has been finding their stride and their consistency lately, and it's working. It's working.
To score 81 points making three threes, you're right. That's something that you go, how did that even happen? Well, it happened because we had a big man. They did not. And we knew it going in. Obviously, that was the scout was to get it to the big man early and often. First two plays of the game were him dunking the ball, and from then on, it was they tried to guard him with the white guy with the braids. I don't know his name, but I think he was around 6'7" or 6'8". He was just bigger than whoever they had that it was tall, and they thought, let's try to bully him. Well, he made him look like a child out there.
No matter who is out there, Jani Broom established himself as the bigger, better, stronger, more athletic, better player than whoever was guarding him and whoever was on the floor for South Carolina at the time. Jani Broom, 12 of 17 from the field in this game, 27 points. He went 3 of 3 from the free throw line, which is amazing to see.
That's unbelievable. Had really good looking rebounds.
Had 11 rebounds. And I'm gonna get some more stats. Two of them were offensive. He had two blocks, and in his 30 minutes was plus 16 overall in a game you won by 15. We're not trying to compare the previous defensive player of the year in the country to Jani Broom and Walker Kessler to Jani Broom. But when you strictly base it on the offensive ability to score 27 a game, you know, we haven't seen that yet from Jani Broom, but we knew that was possible because of what he did at Morehead State. You know, we saw that maybe the OVC championship against KJ Williams, who's now at LSU, when he had 32 points and 8 rebounds. We were like, okay, what if we get that at Auburn? What if he can do that at Auburn? We talked about all preseason. He's going to be the guy you throw the ball to. If shots aren't going down, you throw the ball to for an automatic bucket. That's exactly what we saw in this game against South Carolina. 12 of 17, 27 points, 11 rebounds is a dominating performance worthy of our player of the game, no doubt. But what did you see from Jani?
So a couple things. You just mentioned a comparison to Walker Kessler. He's not Walker Kessler on the defensive end. Walker Kessler's not Jani Broome on the offensive end, though. Early on, and he does this move a lot, he back to the basket, drop step spin to the baseline. He hooks a lot, and he probably did on this one, but they didn't call it. And Walker Kessler's never going to do that move.
No.
He doesn't have the quick feet like Jani has. Jani has really quick feet. So that move was spectacular.
Yeah.
But that push shot, that little 12-foot push shot, when teams are zoning us, and they're going to zone us because we made 3 3-pointers. If you play us man-to-man, you're crazy. I can guarantee you, after last year in the tournament and watching us play this year, Texas A&M will run zone. I'd be shocked
the entire time
if they played man. So, but what we can do now against that zone that we couldn't do last year is run Jalen or Jani to that 12 foot where the logo is, and
tell them to push it up there.
Push it up there. Yeah. It's an incredible shot. The other thing I noticed about Jani that was a little different than usual. We always talk about when Dylan Carbwell's in the game, the pick and roll is a pick and roll. When Jani has been in the game, it's been a pick and pop.
Not in this game.
Jani had 2 alley-oop dunks. One of them he had to reach back for one-handed. And I was like, oh, wait, Jani can do that alley-oop dunk.
That's being great more aggressive. Passes
by Wendell, but I like seeing it. Dylan also had one, but Jani changes things if he can make that 12 to 15 footer. Because then he can also go by you. He's quick enough to drop step and spin one way and get around you. So real encouraging game. And they didn't have anybody to guard him. Admittedly, they didn't have a big that was anywhere close to Jani.
I think the point that you made about that little 12 to 13 foot jump or push shot, that when you're in the middle of the zone, you're on the short corner baseline area, that he can just catch it and kind of toss it up there with his right or left hand. And not only that, but having 2 guys with that ability will be special, especially against teams that will zone you, which, just like you said, teams are going to zone you, especially because you're struggling from the 3-point line.
They have to.
And you know Buzz Williams and Texas A&M will come in on Wednesday with a zone the entire game. The only way they do not zone you, especially because, just like you mentioned, South Carolina didn't have a big that could guard. I mean, Henry Coleman is a good defensive big for Texas A&M.
He's big.
But I don't think he can guard Jani Broome.
He's not quick enough.
Not man-to-man. He's not quick enough, just like you said. So especially teams who don't have a big that they feel confident guarding Jani, they're going to zone you. So having not only Jani, but Jalen and Allen and even a guy like maybe we'll talk about this guy in a second, but maybe Traor to have that ability, it would be great. It would be special.
Look, and Jalen didn't have it going as well in this game. He missed his 3-pointers, but I still want him shooting that, and his little push or hook shot in the middle of the lane is perfect against the zone. We look at a team that plays zone all the time in Syracuse. It's the easiest zone to break if you just run the guy. If you have a guy that can shoot, we did it last year against Syracuse with Jabari in the middle and Walker down low. And we've got a guy that isn't as good at handling the ball as Jabari was, but he doesn't need to be. He catch it in there. If they don't come up and guard him, he's going to push that thing up. And he made like 4 of them in this game.
Yeah.
He actually made 12 two-point shots, and South Carolina made 20 2-point shots the entire game.
Wow. Man, that's crazy.
That's a crazy to think about. Yeah.
That is crazy to think about. So, yeah, but just like you mentioned about Jalen, Jalen had 12 points and 6 rebounds in this game. A really good game for Jalen, mm-hmm. but it, you know, went 0 of 2 from 3. We'll talk about this with Wendell. Wendell went 1 of 4. Those threes are going to fall. You know, especially as confidence grows, especially, especially, but even if you get into Neville Arena, like those threes are going to fall.
You think they're going to, because they're good for, they're good looks. They're all great looks. Wide open.
None of those looks that we had in this game were really, really bad. And from anyone, by the way, I don't think anybody had a bad look. I think Zepp's look was good. I think Allen's 2 looks were good. Mm-hmm. And I think Traore's 5 looks were all good pretty look. Good.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think Lior's look from 3 from the corner was good as well. So there wasn't a bad 3 shot. I just think they got a fall, but you got a safety blanket in Jani Broome to help you with that.
It's what we talked about. It's what we talked about all offseason.
Yep.
That Walker was not that safety blanket. Walker was the rebounder and the defender.
Yep.
Jani's a safety blanket. He can go post up, and he can – most of the time make a good enough move to score or get fouled. And yeah. if he's making free throws, those are bonus. That's bonus.
100%.
He's not a good free throw shooter. He wasn't. And now he's been much better. Can we bring up one thing here?
Mm-hmm.
KD Johnson. He had a fast break 3-point shot that he was going to shoot.
Yeah.
And he stopped. I think I'm pretty sure it was on the fast break.
It was on the fast break.
Stopped, yeah. hesitated. The guy came running out at him, and KD went right around him and made a layup. How about and that? I was like, oh, my God. I bet Bruce Pearl and Stephen Pearl are like, yes, finally. Yeah. he faked a 3 and took it to the bucket because the guy ran at him.
Yeah,
it's well, like,
I would have run at him too.
Easy layup. Yeah. That's big time. If we can keep him doing that sort of thing, that was a really cool play.
So, yeah. So let's talk about the other guy who had a double-double in this game. Auburn had 2 players in double-doubles in SEC play for the first time since 2013-2014 season. And we're close to having 3 guys with a double-double. If Allen Flanagan would have scored 2 more points, because Flanagan had 8 points and 10 rebounds. And we'll talk about Allen in here just a second, but let's talk about Wendell. You know, I mentioned just a second ago about, you know, he went 1-4 from the 3-point line. Those threes are going to fall, especially when we get in Neville Arena. I'm not worried about that. All 4 of those are good looks. One of them he drilled. It was a great shot. I don't want to talk about his scoring, even though his ability to drive the basket, his mid-range game has gotten unbelievably better. Let's talk about his pass. 12 assists. All 12 of them were circus type of assists and were outstanding pinpoint accuracy type passes. Who he's gotten better and better and better, even from last year at his passing. I want to lay this question out for you. As of right now, from the 12 games you saw from Sharif Cooper in an Auburn uniform to what you've seen from Wendell Green so far. And Wendell Green's not done. Wendell Green's not an NBA player right now. So I expect Wendell Green to be in an Auburn uniform next year.
Mm-hmm.
With the potential, including the potential that Wendell has, in terms of just passing, who do you think is a better passer, Sharif or Wendell? And I'm not saying Sharif in the NBA.
Sharif was an elite college passer.
Yeah,
because of his handles, he could handle it so well, and it was on a string, and he could make passes off the bounce, either hand. What Wendell's doing right now is at least comparable.
Yeah,
the passes the other day were, like you said, most of them were circus passes. Most of them when he was off balance.
Yeah, some of the full court passes.
Full court passes. One of the bounce pass. Both of them to Flanagan.
And the lobs.
I don't understand how he dribbles to the left and throws a lob to the right-hand side of the bucket from the other side of the lane. he is becoming. Name a better point guard in the SEC.
I was just about to ask you this, and it was because I don't see another point guard having as big of an impact on a team than Wendell Green. And I'm not just talking about the SEC. I'm talking about the country. Mm-hmm. When you think about best point guards, I immediately think of Zakai Ziegler at Tennessee. Mm-hmm. He's had an incredible year, but yep. I don't think he has the impact that he does as Wendell Green does on this Auburn team. You think about Mark Sears at Alabama. He's having a great year, but has been highly inconsistent, a lot like Green was in the non-conference in the Georgia game last year. But he's not having near of an impact because he really doesn't need to have an impact.
No, they got
number 24 on that team.
NBA All-Star on that team.
So I do think Wendell is the most impactful player, point guard in the SEC. And you can talk about him being top three in the country in terms of when he's on the court, when he's playing well, this team is a contender. When he's not, this team shouldn't be in the tournament. When he's playing kind of iffy, this team's a bubble team. He makes that impact, and he shows that night in and night out. And if he keeps his consistency, not only scoring, getting better from his outside shot, just keep improving that, but he keeps passing the ball like this, Auburn's a contender, not just for the SEC, but for the title.
Since the Georgia game, he was bad in the Georgia game. I don't know where that came from. I don't know what happened. I don't know if he was sick that day. Maybe his girlfriend was yelling at him. I don't know. but he was bad in the Georgia game. And ever since then, he has been consistently
fantastic.
He's had, what's that, five straight now?
Yeah.
Five straight games where he's been great. You're getting almost 20 points. You're getting almost double-digit assists. You got 12 the other night. Granted, he turned the ball over four times, but I'll take 3-to-1 assist-to-turnover ratio.
Yes.
I'll take that every night from him. And again, we're up 8 or 10 with 5 minutes left. I'm pretty confident because they're going to have to start fouling. And the guy with the ball is either him or Zepp. And he missed a free throw the other night for the first one in 25. It broke his string of 25 free throws made in a row. I'm confident that when Green is a closer and I can't say enough good things about him. Last year, I loved Wynn, but he was really inconsistent, and it hurt.
That's why he came off the bench.
Yeah. It hurt us. This year, he's been except for one game.
Yeah,
he's been completely consistent. So he's turned into a really good defender. As long as he doesn't get beat back door, he is the. After the Miami game, Coach Pearl said it was going to be Jalen Williams' team. And Coach Pearl still say that. And a lot of it's true. Yeah. This is Wendell Green's team.
Yeah.
This is when
he's point guard one.
He's going to make it. And he is leading this team.
Yeah. There's not many when you look around college basketball, especially this year, but even in past years, there's not a lot of players you can point to on a team and specifically say that they're the reason that they either win or lose. They're the reason they either win big, win small, or lose big.
Yeah.
Wendell Green is exactly that. And you haven't seen that with Auburn in a while because Jabari's worst game last year, he went 3 of 15 from the field at Missouri, and we won.
Thank KD's you, Johnson.
KD's worst game last year, he went 0 of 14 against Texas A&M. We lost by 5. There wasn't an extreme impact from one certain player outside of more than one game.
Yeah.
Wendell Green is making impacts every single game. It is the reason that we're successful or not successful, game in and game out, even if he doesn't have 27 points, 11 rebounds like Jani, or 12 points and 6 rebounds like Jalen, or 8 points and 10 rebounds like Alan Flanagan, or 8 points like Yoan Traore. You can't, you know, minimize his impact that he makes on the floor.
By the way, most of those points from Jani came from Wynn Green.
Exactly.
Exactly. Directly from Wynn.
Yeah, no, for the YouTube listeners, I wasn't looking at the screen because I was trying to find the stat of points responsible for. And that's a big thing when it comes to for point guards, because you count the assist, that score, you get your points, you get your outlet passes, you get everything that you're the reason that they score, mm-hmm. you're part of the score, you get credit for. And I want to find the stat of, and I don't know where I would find it. That's the problem, is how many of Auburn's 81 points was Wendell Green responsible for? I bet it's at least half, minimum.
Yeah. Yeah.
That's crazy.
But you're right. He was fantastic.
So moving on to talk about a little bit. So obviously Chris Moore still out with an injury. He did warm up to complete extent in this game, which is great. Mm-hmm. Usually that's a sign that hopefully a player will return soon. Hopefully we might see him return to the lineup or rotation against Texas A&M. If not, maybe he'll travel to Morgantown and play mm-hmm. at West Virginia on Saturday. So Alan Flanagan into the starting spot. I think he's established himself as the starting spot. I think I would rather have Chris Moore there because I want Alan coming off the bench. But that being said, right now, when South Carolina made their run to cut it to 10, the lineup consisted of Trey Donaldson, Leroy Berman, Katie Johnson, Yoan Traore, and Dylan Carbo, which is your current bench lineup right now with Alan Flanagan into the starting lineup with Chris Moore being
mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
So from that five, who is your scorer? We've seen Trey can do it. We know Trey can score. He hasn't scored a lot lately, but we know he can score. I don't think his role is to score yet.
Yeah, no, I don't either.
I
would say KD, but
we know KD can score. We know KD can score. We know KD can score in bunches because we saw it last year and we've seen it mm-hmm. a little towards the beginning of this year. We just need him to be more consistent, need him to get that KD confidence and swag back. And once he does, I think he could be that guy. Obviously, you'll thrust either Chris Moore or Leroy Berman into that. I think Berman's going to be a shooter, but he could be a liability defensively. You know, Chris Moore may not score a lot, but he's going to be one of the best defenders on the team, if not the mm-hmm. best.
Mm-hmm.
Where's your score? Dylan Carbo's not going to score 6-8 points a game. That's not going to come from Dylan unless we're getting lob after lob after lob, which
yeah, I would unless love. They're defending him.
Where does that scoring come from? Do you install confidence in your five-star from this past year who we've seen struggle and feel like he's not fitting and not knowing where he's at and struggling to get confidence of his offense and his shot and his defense and not having an effort rebounding and that sort of thing? Do you instill confidence in Yoan Traore, let him get 8 points in this game, bury 2 threes, get 10
and
minutes
a dunk.
In a dunk.
2 threes a and a really dunk, nice breakaway dunk.
To establish him as that bench scorer, because he's not coming to the starting lineup. Jalen Williams is the starting at the 4.
Yeah.
Alan Flanagan, I believe, has established himself as the starting at the 3. If he keeps playing like this, I think we keep him there, because I don't know how well you thrust Chris Moore back in there after his injury, even though I would be fine with that either way. Letting you
on Traore score, I would
love become that bench scorer. I think that needs to be the move.
I would love to see that. Traore's still learning a new position. He didn't play the 4 in high school. He played everything 5. And a shooting 5. He can make the 3. He likes that corner 3. Boy, if he gets it there, he's launching it.
Yep.
Made 2 of them. Should have made the 3rd one. I thought the 3rd one was good too. It was a good look. looked like it was going in. Had the breakaway dunk, was not, didn't look lost on either end. He's looked lost in the past few weeks. Yep. I'm glad Bruce played him and, like you said, gave him the confidence to go ahead and shoot, especially in a game that we were going to win no matter what, basically. Get him in there, get him some confidence, let him if we could get 8 to 10 a game out of him
with Johan,
it'd be perfect.
Yeah,
so it just got to be more aggressive. I think he's got it. We saw it in Israel.
Yeah.
And he's tall, he's long, he's got all the attributes.
Yeah.
The difference, his 5-star rating and Gigi Jackson's 5-star rating is so different, though. They're not even the same league. Gigi Jackson is polished compared to Johan Traore. So we've got to get some polish back on or on him and get him some confidence. The more confident he got, the better he was playing the other day.
Yeah. And I think that goes not just for Traore, but for KD, that way for Allen. I mean, you see the difference between Allen this year and last year. That's pure confidence and fit.
I agree.
That's pure confidence and fit. I mean, Jahni Brew exceeds confidence. Just confidence just boils off of him and walking to the store. I mean, that's what Jahni is all about. If you can get guys on your bench like KD, like probably Chris Moore when he comes back, like Trey, like Johan, their confidence, knowing their roles and exceeding in them, it's just going to get better and better for Auburn. So
it needs to, because it's going to get tougher and tougher.
Yeah. And that being said, let's talk about what's next for this Auburn basketball team. Auburn comes home to finish out January, in Neville Arena on Wednesday, and then goes to Morgantown to play against West Virginia in the SEC Big 12 Challenge on Saturday. That will finish out this, you know, interesting month for January. Mm-hmm. For Texas A&M, the game on Wednesday night at 8:00 in Neville Arena. Obviously, it'll be good for Auburn to get back in Neville Arena where they played Mississippi State last. Texas A&M has had a weird start to the year. Did not play that well in non-conference. Had some really questionable losses. The Boise State loss was questionable. They also lost to Memphis. They lost to Wofford at home.
Got blown out by Colorado.
So some really questionable losses, but some pretty solid wins. I mean, they beat Loyola Chicago. They beat SMU. They beat Oregon State. And then they come into SEC play and start off 5-0 with some big wins over Texas A&M, LSU, Missouri,
not over South A&M, Carolina, them.
Against two wins against Florida, one against Missouri, one against LSU, one against South Carolina. And then they go to Rupp and lose this past Saturday. So it's a weird start to the season, just a very odd start for Texas A&M. Mm-hmm.
It's very similar to last year's start, by the way.
Exactly.
They started off hot last year and fell off the map.
Yep.
At this point in the season.
Yep.
I hope they fall off the map and lose their second straight coming up Wednesday. That the crowd needs to be there, because the kids need encouragement on their shooting, because we're gonna get open looks. They're gonna give you open looks from three. They want you to not be able to get into the lane. That's the way they're going to play defense. Kentucky got hot. Kentucky made 11 three-pointers Saturday to beat them.
Is that the most that they've made all year?
Kentucky made 11, and A&M, I think, made three. That's 33-9 difference in three-pointers, and A&M lost by what, eight?
Nine.
So – it's 24 points difference in three-pointers, if my math is good.
Yep.
And you only lose by nine. I feel like they will give you the three. You just got to make it. And Kentucky made it, and Kentucky won. If you don't, I don't know. I don't know. A&M's good enough to beat us. They're better than South Carolina. They're better than LSU. They're better than Florida. They beat Florida twice. They held Florida to 12 points in the first half the other day. Now Florida came back and made that a game, but they will rebound and try to muck it up and try to make it a dirty, nasty, physical basketball game. And he's a good coach. Now
they're going to come in.
He'll guard
zone. Yeah. Buzz Williams will be on the floor. He will be their sixth man, just like they do with the 12th man in football. He will have a sixth man. He will be out guarding on the floor. If you don't know that reference, look at the
watch any of his games.
Watch any of the games. He's always in defensive position. It's not like he's standing there
right next to the player,
right next to the opposing player.
I mean, out there. Yeah. It's like, Buzz, you're literally next to our shooting guard.
Yeah. It's weird.
It's weird. I like Buzz. I think he's a good coach. I like to listen to him talk, but I want him to lose badly Wednesday night.
So I want another game like that one. Yeah, not only will Auburn play Texas A&M on Wednesday, but they'll also play them in 2 weeks in College Station. So you get two matchups against the Texas A&M team who you are tied with in the SEC right now.
Yeah, that's right.
Tied for second. Tennessee and Texas A&M are tied for second in the SEC, only behind Alabama, who's undefeated. This is a huge opportunity to not only take a step right before the SEC Big 12 Challenge, but also knock one of your foes who's right there with you down. They're out of your running currently. And then if February gets started and it is a bloodbath for Auburn. I mean, you start off with your revenge game against Georgia next Wednesday, and then you go to Knoxville. And you get Texas A&M again, just like I said.
Away.
And then you get probably coming in the number one team in the country, the Alabama Crimson Tide. So it just gets harder and harder for Auburn. And it's going to be a good test. This week is very, very vital to see where this Auburn team is at. You get a big matchup, just like we said, against Texas A&M, and then a big road test against Press Virginia. You're going to get pressed the entire time.
By the way, I watched them play the other day. I watched their game against Texas. They didn't press Texas at all. Mm. They trapped half court. They trapped them, but they didn't press them at all. And I was like, well, this is weird. This is not what I'm expecting. Couple things. You want to get wins that you can get while you can get them. Had to beat South Carolina, had to beat LSU, had to beat Ole Miss. A&M is one that at home you can get. Defend your home court. You have the longest active home winning streak in the country.
By Gonzaga.
And now it's time to stand on that and keep pushing it up. And yes, you'll face the number one team in the country in a couple weeks in that building.
Across the state, they're really good. But getting off of that, we will be back next week or Friday to discuss. We'll be back Friday to discuss this game against Auburn, or discuss Auburn's game against Texas A&M, and then do a little short preview, just like we did for the A&M game, about the West Virginia game on Saturday. So, hope you all enjoyed. For the YouTube listeners, subscribe and like down below. If you want to find us on Twitter, just find us on Twitter at Gray Oldenburg or at War Eagle Hoops, or find the amazing stuff on Twitter at The Auburn Daily, or you just visit auburndaily.com. We will be back to discuss all that more Auburn basketball at another time. Thank you all for listening. War Eagle.
War Eagle. Thank you.